Beloved congregation, we come tonight to a new section of the Heidelberg Catechism. We've considered in the past that short section at the beginning about the misery of man. Man, as he's found in a state of sinful alienation from God. We've spent considerable time on that second part, dealing with man's deliverance from that sin and being brought again into favor with God by the passion and death of Jesus Christ. And now tonight we begin that third section, that last section of the Catechism, namely of thankfulness. And this is just as important as the other two parts, we might think. This part comes after the most important part about salvation, and therefore since this part actually doesn't save us, it can even be optional. But this is not true. This section of the Catechism sets before us the greatest question of all. It actually forces us. It calls us out. It tests us. It tries and proves us to see if the foregoing two sections of the Catechism have been experienced by us. Because as Answer 87 says, which we read, those who continue to live in their wicked and ungrateful lives actually show thereby that they know nothing of either their misery or of any deliverance from God or to God. And so the way that we walk in our lives actually tells us a lot about our condition before God spiritually. You could say this third part of the Catechism is one big test. It's an eternally important question. How do you walk? The great question before us tonight, how are you living? For whom are you living? And are you walking a life of thankfulness to God? And now the way that we'll begin this section of the Catechism tonight is by looking at a man who lived a very, very long time ago. A man who walked this life. A man who experienced those three things that we all need to experience in order to live and die happily. Misery, deliverance, and thankfulness. Enoch, we read about him. The man lived before the flood. And he has a fairly short biography. And yet the contents of Enoch's biography teach us valuable lessons about what it means to walk a life of thankfulness to God. Now we might ask, the Catechism begins by saying Christ, having redeemed us by His blood. Can we say that about Enoch? He lived thousands of years before Christ. What's the connection? Well, there is one. We can say this about Enoch, because Enoch looked ahead by faith to God's coming Messiah, so that Christ also covered Enoch's sin and guilt, so that Enoch could also live a life of thankfulness to his covenant God. Let's look a little closer at this man tonight under the theme, walking like Enoch in thankfulness to God. First, we'll see the path to walk on. Second, the signs to read. And third, the strength for walking. First, the path. One of the things you'll notice about this passage here in Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24, is its terse treatment of human life, and also in the whole context, the almost cyclical pattern that we are given, very brief statements about life and about death. No details really, at least not great detail about the lives of these pre-flood patriarchs. We're given a brief statement, so-and-so lived so many years, got a son, lived after he got that son so many years, begat sons and daughters, the total years is given, and he died. And it repeats itself over and over. But for Enoch, we don't read And he lived. For Enoch, we read, and he walked. There's something special about this man. Unique from the others, even from his father Jared and from his son Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. We read it not once, but twice. And that means that he walked in the way of uprightness in the Lord's ways. What does that mean? What does that path of walking with God look like? Well, we can say a couple of things. First, we can say that Enoch's walking with God means that he was at peace with God. That's something to think. Enoch knew God, and Enoch was a man who was at peace with God. We don't read about what Enoch did. But when Enoch went to work in the morning, he was at peace with God. When Enoch came home from work, he was at peace with God. When Enoch was a father to Methuselah, as he fathered him and worked with him, disciplined him, taught him in his family life, in his social life, in his religious life, he was at peace with God. He walked with God. You know, if we could examine the path upon which Enoch walked and study the trail that he took spiritually, that trail would not be marked by signs of skirmish or struggle. There would be no torn up grass, if you will, or gravel kicked up. There would be no evidence of disagreements along the way. What we would find was evidence of a calm, a peaceful walking with God. We can say that because you can't walk with someone for any length of time except you're on good terms with that person. And that's why we can say he was at peace with God. Amos 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's a rhetorical question. They can't. You can't walk with someone together for a long time, let alone for 300 years, as was the case with Enoch, and not be at peace. He was at peace with God. That's what this way of walking with God looks like. And the question that faces you and me is, do you know this peace? Are you at peace with God? When you get up in the morning and you go to work, is there peace in your heart with God? You come home from work. You come into your family life. Father, mother, young person, older one. In your social life, in your religious life, are you at peace with God? Maybe you say, well, I'm actually a bit afraid of God. Well, then your footsteps don't line up with Enoch's. If the thought of God brings you no peace, but only fear, then that's an indicator that helps you to answer the question, how am I walking? You need to come to peace with God through Jesus Christ. But there's something else we can say about Enoch's walking with God, and that's that it was maintained in spite of and in the face of abounding evil all around him. If we examine again the footsteps of Enoch, and if we trace carefully his footsteps crossing this path, we see many other footsteps across this path. Many, many influences, many, many people that he came into contact with. Turn with me to the next chapter, Genesis 6 at verse 5. What do we read? We read this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This was a couple of hundred years after Enoch, and yet we can say this didn't happen overnight. Look at Lamech in chapter 4, verse 19. There's this little story there told us about Lamech, who said in verse 23 unto his two wives, we see those two wives in 19, Ada and Zillah, and then in 23 he says, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." Lamech was a contemporary of Enoch, and he was an evil man. An adulterer, a murderer, a mocker, the kind of person Answer 87 refers to, saying, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And there were all these people in that pre-flood world, a world filled with violence and hatred and all manner of evil, that crossed paths with Enoch. And yet, although Enoch faced all of that abounding evil all around him, what do we read? We read that Enoch walked with God. He too was faced with temptation. He too was not immune to temptation. We shouldn't think or say, well, Enoch must have had a perfect world to live in. Far from it. So what did Enoch do when he was enticed to remove his feet from the path of walking with God in thankfulness and to seek other pleasures? And when he was tempted to be distracted by the things that his flesh also hankered after, he spoke to himself with the wisdom of the proverb that says, walk thou not in the way with them. Remove thy foot from their path. He said in his heart, Enoch, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. This is what the path of walking with God looks like. And again, we can ask, how is it with us? How do we walk, congregation? What are our affections toward this world like? How do we respond to temptation? The face of abounding evil all around us, bombarding us. It used to be just billboards and commercials. Now it's right in the palm of our hand. The palms which your covenant God has said to you, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. We lay our phone on those palms, and what do we look at? What do we listen to? What do we engage in? How do we interact with the world around us? When you compare that to a man like Enoch, do we heed the apostle's word, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? I see that by God's grace, Enoch's footsteps mark out a line running contrary to that evil abounding all around him. And examine your own path and ask the Lord, Lord, show me myself. What does this reveal about me? And if you've been ignoring the Lord and you haven't set the Lord always before your face, as the psalmist says, and you don't have a constant regard to His word as your rule, oh, examine yourself and ask the Lord to change that. Because then you're an Answer 87 man. And the awful words there say that such a person shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Say with Enoch, who knew, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. And so let us expunge by God's grace evil. Let us face the abounding evil around us with God's word, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the word. Be that Christian in complete armor, fighting, as we read in the forum this morning, manfully against sin and evil. O congregation, are you at peace with God? And do you walk contrary to this world? These are the questions that will tell you a lot about the pathway you're on. Questions to think about. You know, it's so easy to blend into the religious fabric around you. Most of us have grown up in this religious ecosystem that is such a heritage, such a blessing. And yet it's easy to toe the line that everyone else toes, to say the things that you know are to be said, the things that are expected to appear at least in some fashion religious and even serious about that, and yet not be walking this life. You know, the great question is not, do others believe that I'm walking this life parallel to Enoch? But the great question is, does God attest to it? Maybe you wonder then, am I walking with God? What does it look like? What kind of road signs might mark the way in my life as they did in Enoch's? Well, let's look at that. Secondly, the signs to read. Signs along the road of a walk with God that will help you discern whether you are walking with God. The first road sign reads like this: proceed with the word of God. Proceed with the word of God. In other words, Enoch read his Bible. It's true, he didn't have a Bible. He never had an Old Testament nor a New Testament. Yet he knew the word of God, the truth. Think of Adam. Adam had been alive for more than the first 200 years of Enoch's own life. These pre-flood people lived, for whatever reason, extensive lives, and probably that changed because the physical world changed so much during the flood. But they lived a long time, and Adam and Enoch were contemporaries for 200 or so years. And so Adam, we can rightly deduce, would have communicated orally the truth to Enoch as well as many others who called on the name of the Lord, the truth about creation, the original state of innocence, the fall, the promise of God, of a coming deliverer, the seed of the woman. And Enoch proceeded down the path of his life with those words as his lifeline. He lived by them. He proceeded with the word of God. Well, if Enoch did that, are you doing that? Enoch had neither Genesis nor Revelation, and you and I have both. Let us do so. The scriptures reveal the Lord to us. They're given to convey to us the knowledge of God. And if you're walking with God, then it will be evident because you're reading the word of God. The second road sign reads, commune with the God of the Word. Commune with the God of the Word. The God who reveals himself to you in the Bible is the God who, by virtue of his grace and covenant, desires to commune with you. He wants you to know him. He seeks a relationship with you. He says unto you, in the words of Psalm 27, seek ye my face. In other words, personal private prayer before the face of God is key to the life of thankfulness. Communion with God in Christ is the secret to a blessed life. That's what Enoch had. He talked with God even as he walked with him. He held communion in his heart with God. He sought the face of God. Can you reply with the psalmist? When thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Do you know what it is to speak with the Lord from the privacy of your own room? And have you experienced that the Lord is a God who meets with you in the way of prayer, who will let you feel in your inner being that his love and his favor is worth more than anything else in this world? Do you know something of praying like that from your heart? That's what Enoch did. You say, how do we know? We know this because the author of the Hebrews touches on this very point. He writes that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. And then he elaborates and he says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, right here in the context of Enoch in Hebrews 11, we read about coming to God in faith, about diligently seeking him. So this is what Enoch did. This second road sign was on the path of his life. He read it. He lived by it. The third road sign we find here reads as follows: love your fellow travelers. To be on this pathway means that you will love the people of God. I'm sure that Enoch was part of that company that called upon the name of the Lord, that first gathering, that early Old Testament pre-flood church. He was sure to be where God's people were. He could say with David, they are the excellent of earth, in them is my delight. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? The apostle writes, hereby know we that we are of God. You could say that we are walking a life of thankfulness with God because we love the brethren. Love your fellow travelers. Fourth, the fourth sign reads, praise God on this path. As the catechism puts it, that he may be praised by us. Walking with God is evident in your attitude towards the worship of God. Are you glad to go into the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning? Or would you rather sleep there? This road sign tells us so much about this path. Praise God on this path. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Psalm 113 says that from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And it is his people who are walking with him who do just that. And then let us be humbled when we think of all the things that we say to others about others. They're in frustration, but are not praise to God. The fifth sign says this: the just shall walk by his faith. And this is a sign of encouragement, a sign that's designed to grow assurance of faith. The catechism says it, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Walking on by faith, by the fruit of faith, is encouraging walking. And Enoch no doubt also had this encouragement. So he could trace the fruits of faith, not because of anything in him, but because of God's work in his life. It encouraged him. And he experienced, as all of God's people do in some degree, that the just are walking by faith. And there's this sense of assurance that flows from that. And then the sixth sign reads like this: speak well of God to all. The catechism says that by your godly conduct, others may be won to Christ. Here's one way to tell if you're walking this life of thankfulness to God: you're speaking well of God to others. Are you? How beautiful to think that Enoch attracted others to his God as well. In a time when this abounding evil and the world is the people are rotting. There's such wickedness, which is great in the earth. Chapter 6. There's this bright beacon of light walking through it all, who's attracting people to it, to God. Like the fragrance of his God left behind him when he spoke a word in due season. Enoch's life was a blessing to others, and is yours this way, and do you desire to speak well of God? Well, congregation, these are some of the signs along the path of a life of thankfulness to God. And the question is, do these signs mark your life? Can you relate to them? Well, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, I want to walk with the Lord, and yet I find it so hard because I'm a sinner and I'm inclined to all evil, and my heart is so fickle and my steps are but weak. Where can I find the strength to walk in this path? Let's see that thirdly, the strength for walking. What is the reason why Enoch walked with God? Why was this man able to conduct himself in this holy manner, so that in all of his conduct, in his prayer, in his meditation, in his words, in his intentions, his motives, he was pleasing to God? That's what we find in Hebrews 11. He pleased God. Was he some special human being? Somebody just way above us that we'll never attain to? Was there some special recessive gene that was left over from Adam's perfection that somehow activated in Enoch's DNA? Not at all. Look again with me at Enoch's footsteps in the passage. You trace those footsteps of Enoch back. He's the son of Jared, and Jared is the son of another one, and they go all the way back to who? To Adam. Enoch, too, falls under that mournful blanket description of the whole human race, as Paul penned it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Enoch, too. There's nothing special about Enoch that made him to be one who walked with God. In fact, in his early life, we can say Enoch did not walk with God. How do we know? Well, there's something in the text in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So far, there's no difference between Enoch and the others who lived before him and around him. We read that of all the others too. But then we come to verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. It seems that at the time of Methuselah's birth, something happened in Enoch's life. The scriptures are silent on the particulars, but by comparing other scriptures with this verse, we can deduce what happened. Enoch was changed. Enoch, right around that time, was converted. By nature, Enoch could only walk, as Paul tells the Ephesians they did, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was Enoch. And it wasn't until he was quickened with Christ, till he was changed by faith and made to live unto God, that Enoch began to walk this path. And that's crucial for us all. The strength that you need to walk a life like Enoch of thankfulness to God is found in Jesus Christ. Paul says that when we were yet without strength, Christ in due time died for the ungodly. Let that encourage you. As you may be sitting here tonight saying, I want to walk with the Lord, but it's hard. The gospel freely tells you that in you there is no strength, that you are weak, but in Christ is your strength. You were found without strength, but in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Sinful, strengthless ones like you and me. And when you cast yourself on him by faith, he will strengthen you. He will enable you to walk this path day by day, heeding, reading and heeding those signs, walking in faith and in the fruit of faith unto assurance. So that you can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then you find that walking close to the Lord in His presence is fullness of joy. And Nehemiah says, the joy, that joy of the Lord is your strength. So ask God for the grace of faith in His Son. That's what Hebrews 11 points out about Enoch's walking with God. It was by faith. It wasn't by strength. It wasn't by intuition. It wasn't by his own ability. It was by faith. Faith was the foundation of Enoch's life of walking with God. And then what? What happens in Enoch's life? How did things work out? Let's follow his footprints on to their end. What do you see? In verse 24, we see the end of the trail. Suddenly, the trail goes cold. There's a step, another step, another step, and then no more steps. The footsteps stop. What happened to Enoch? There's no grave, there's no tombstone, there's no mark in the earth where he sat down and then lay down to die. There's no pool of blood. He's gone. God took him. What an end. Here is the end of walking with Enoch, a life of thankfulness to God. It's to be received into the glorious presence of God Himself. How will you end? What will the end of your footsteps through this life be? If you say, well, I don't know. Really? There's a way to tell, you know. The best way to consider your end is to look at your footsteps today. Generally speaking, how you walk through life is how you'll die. Don't count on a deathbed conversion. Don't lean on good intentions of doing better later, of seeking God later. Now, today, is the day of salvation. That pathway stands open for everyone here tonight to walk on. How? How do you begin? By turning to God in Christ. You know, the wonderful thing about our God is that He not only hears those who are walking on this path, He'll also hear those who aren't. And so you can say to Him, Lord, Thou knowest how I have walked in my past. Lord, I'm ashamed that the whole of my conduct has not been a testimony of gratitude to Thee for Thy blessings. Maybe you have to say there's not been so much as one day of walking with Thee in all the miles and years of the footprints of my life. But you know, you can say and beg of Him, Lord, be merciful to me. Save me. Give me Jesus or I die. Cause me to walk with Thee this life of thankfulness. The only blessed life and the only life that will end well. Maybe you're in the prodigal's pig pen. Doesn't matter. Cry to Him. Maybe you're in misery like that dying thief. Doesn't matter. Cry to Him. Because He's the God who hears. God takes those who have never walked with Him and sets their feet in a new and living way. He takes those who are cast down, who look at Enoch and say, there's no hope for me. I'm a failure. My life's a mess. Maybe you felt this way and you don't even dare to say anything about it. You just keep up a good front. But don't let this discourage you. Let Enoch's walk encourage you, because that walk, again, is not a display of Enoch, but it's a display of God and of His grace in Enoch's life, an amazing grace that can touch yours too and reach you even where you are. Are you walking with God, dear congregation? Do you desire to walk in that new and living way? In New York City, there's a place called the High Line. It's an old elevated railway converted into a park. It's a long, slender section of park running right through downtown Manhattan. Elevated. Up above ground level. Down below is all the busyness and the dirtiness of the streets of Manhattan. And just a few meters up above is this green, inviting strip of enjoyable parkland with benches and flowers and plants among which you can walk. You see the picture? That's the pathway we've been talking about. God puts his people in a pathway like that. Sinful people walking with God in the midst of a foul, polluted, sinful world. There go his people, walking with their affections not set in this world, but higher, in another place. How sad it is that often, and we see that in the Bible too, the people of God leave that path. They turn aside into the filth and pollution of this world, allured by false prospects, deceived by sin and their own evil hearts, and it always leads to grief and loss, and perhaps you can identify with that too. And you've lost the way and you've fallen off the way. And so often, the Lord has to pick you back up and put you back on his way. You know, this morning the form said it beautifully. It struck me again as I read it. Maybe it hit you too. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we should not therefore despair of God's mercy. And it doesn't stop there, does it? Nor continue in sin, but get to God like that Shunammite. Get back on that way, child of God, walking with Enoch in that life of thankfulness to God. And then one day, the Lord will take you as well, translating you to glory, where you will walk, never to stumble again, where you will walk with him in white. And until then, say as we'll now sing, O teach me, Lord, the way that I should go, then shall thy servant walk therein forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, the way that thou hast set out for thy people is such a blessed way. Forgive us, Lord, for our many failings, our failings even to see the blessedness of that way. But we pray thee to win over hearts, to conquer hearts by thy grace. And set, may it be every one of us in that new and living way, the way of walking by faith in thankfulness to thee, step by step, with steadfast step they walk, their countenances beaming, with brightness from the light that from thy face is streaming. O Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us and teach us to walk in thy ways. Draw sinners, Lord, out of the filth and the pollution and the gutters of this world and set them on that high road that way that leads unto life. Oh, narrow is that way. Thou wilt keep all thy people. Oh, draw, we pray, every one of us there, and strengthen thy people, Lord, to be encouraged. Also, when they stumble and fall, to press on in that way of holiness. We pray, Lord, for a blessing on us as we part. Grant us all that we need in this week. We remember again the Eckhart family. Lord, be their comfort and nearness as they bring their dear mother and grandmother and aunt and sister and loved one to the grave. And Lord, we pray, bless the service for the glory of thy name. Bless also Mike and Kimmy as they look forward to their wedding on Wednesday. And we pray thee to make all things well there too. And go before them, we ask. Bless us now as we part, and pardon every sin.